It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. We've got Cynthia at the Journal and Janet at home as we are still social distancing. Okay. Well, we'll start off right there on the front page, and we'll start off with some good news at first, and that is the Sharon Playhouse. They have their plans for the summer season with some cabarets outdoors in July and some shows in August.
Yes, and thank you again for waiting on that. And so we spoke to Robert Levenstein, who is the managing director at Sharon Playhouse, as did Marshall. And they had kept saying on their social media, nope, we're going to have our season, we're going to have our season, even as other organizations were canceling their summer seasons. But they're really determined to have something for the community, which they said, you know, with great sincerity, this community means a lot to us. We want to be able to do something for you. So they've canceled the first two shows of the season, which was going to be Singing in the Rain and Brigadoon. They're going to start Mamma Mia a week late in August. The first, I think it's August 7th is when it starts. You can, it'll say in the article. And then after that is Million Dollar Quartet, and they're going to still be doing Divas in Hollywood, which I believe is Michael Berkeley. And they'll be doing some cabaret performances out on the patio, which is one of the big social events of the tri-state region in summer. And they're going to be working very hard to spread the tables out around their beautiful property there in Sharon so that people can get a chance to get out, enjoy the weather, hear some singing. I believe that what happens is the cast who is in those shows get a chance to just kind of do songs they love. It's like a... like the skating spectacular after the Winter Olympics. So
and they also really have they have people come up and not only that, but they're going to have food trucks there, and it's all going to be outdoors, and it all be legally spaced. But they did put one caveat that it had to be approved by the state of Connecticut. What goes on with the state of Connecticut and with the Center for Disease Control? But I think with what they're planning on doing, especially in July, is no problem. And in August, we hope that they are planning to keep the house about 30% or 33% full, so people can social distance there. But that's a bit of good news that we can say that starts off this week, which we haven't had much good news lately.
Right, it's something to look forward to, not only for the cast but also for the volunteers and the staff and for the community. And
absolutely,
anybody who wants to donate, of course, they'd be super happy about that.
Also, pretty good news on the right there on the front page, the Paley's Farm Market.
I was kind of worried because so many people have said to me, well, we're doubling the size of our garden this year, or they're digging out their yards or doing garden boxes for the first time. And I was like, wow, I wonder if it's going to be a run on seeds and starters the same way that there was a run on, you know, toilet paper and pork and everything. So I was talking to Sarah Kuhn, who is Sarah Paley, Charlie's sister, and she and her husband Chris had taken over Paley's Farm Market. And we also spoke to somebody at Freund's Farm Market. Jana Siller helped me with this article quite a bit. And she spoke to her representative at Johnny's Seeds. And so, in fact, there is going to be a shortage on seeds for home use, but don't hoard. But what Sarah Paley said, Sarah Kuhn said, and also Jana Siller, who is the farm director for the Adama CSA farm here in Falls Village, is all of the commercial growers, all of our farmers, all got their seeds before COVID became a crisis. So they're all set, and Paley's can keep starting new starter plants. So they have lots and lots of lettuce and herbs and tomatoes and peppers and all sorts of things that you can start putting most of them in your garden already. So it is considered an essential business. Our farm markets and garden centers are open. Of course, as with all businesses, super happy to get your support right now. And don't worry about them selling out. And if you are not able to get all the lettuce or tomato seeds or whatever that you need, just keep in mind that the farms are going to be there and they'll need our support through the summer. So, you know, buy your tomatoes from a professional if you can't get them yourself.
And I go to another story, and I have to put in my media moment everything that happens. I was on the phone last week with Dr. Mark Herko talking about COVID-19 in Sharon Hospital, a prearranged interview. And we finished the interview, and I hung up. And 2 minutes later, I got a call back from the hospital. Can we go back on the air again? And so I thought, okay, well, this is another COVID thing, right? No, I spoke to Dr. Marshall and Dr. Herko. they had six individuals at one point come into their emergency room with poisoning. Lily of the Valley versus ramps. There's a big difference.
Quite a big difference, and also false hellebore. And so we actually heard from a number of people who just emailed us directly, and they said, my husband's in the ER right now, or, you know, my friend is in the ER. And so Jody Bronson had written for us in Nature's Notebook column, last week or 2 weeks ago, and had said, oh, it's ramp season. So when you go on Instagram, of course, and, you know, traditionally through the Lakeville Journal, we always say, oh, it's ramp season. And generally, actually what surprised us was that a couple of the people that ended up in the hospital, it's not like, oh, these are people from New York who've never been out in the woods before. These are like, there are a couple of experienced outdoor people who just went out. And so what we always stress with wild edibles, and which we didn't so much because for Jody it was a column, is you should never eat anything or touch anything or smell anything in the woods or in nature that you're not 100% certain is safe. And even people who really, you know, we had somebody Instagram messaging me who I know has collected ramps and is eating them safely, and she messaged me and said, do Lily of the Valley taste like ramps? And I was like, well, I don't think so, because they're poisonous, so just don't try them. But we did an article just reminding people, don't eat anything unless you're 100% certain it's the right thing. Even if you're with a friend who's a forager. I went out, one of the people who ended up in the ER had called me, and she happened to be somebody who lives near me, and I said, you know, would you like me to go out and I'll show you? And there were a couple places where I said, you know, this is what they should look like. And she looked at it and she's like, well, I don't know, there's two leaves instead of three. And I said, well, don't eat it. Even though I'm standing here saying to you, I know those are ramps. Don't ever eat anything unless you know 100% certain it's not, as these six people found out, it's not worth the danger. But also one thing that we always stress, and that we should stress more than ever right now, as people are going out into the woods, as there's a lot of new people up here, is the woods are not safe. They're dangerous. And you should stay on the trail 100% of the time, especially at this time of year. It's icier than you think up there. There's going to be wet patches. It's very easy to fall. And if you fall and you're off the trail, it's very hard for the rescue workers to get to you. And it endangers them in a time of COVID for them to be in that close proximity, as they have to be, to get up there with the jaws of life or with the carry basket or whatever. Not the jaws of life. I can't remember what they call the carry basket. But it's hard for them. So stay on the trail. Don't take chances. And there's a lot of poisonous stuff out there right now that, even though poison ivy is dormant right now, you can touch some wood that's got poison elements on it. Somebody I know has got a really bad case of poison sumac two weeks ago just from moving firewood in his yard. So don't take any chances. It's very hard for the EMTs to get to you always, but it's especially hard right now. So this article goes through some of these other, and always take a flashlight with you in the woods.
And especially, here's two other reasons. I mean, it's also early in the season, and people, of course, don't have anything to do, so they are going out. Mama bears are in the woods with their baby bears. That is, they're traveling a lot this season. But you know, Cynthia, also what happens, people are out earlier this year, and the ramps and the lily of the valleys aren't fully grown, and especially when they just start sprouting.
They do look alike.
When they first start sprouting, I was amazed. They almost look identical except for one thing. So, but it's like when you're hunting for mushrooms. If you know what you're doing, and you're an expert, I guess do it. But if you don't know, if you're not an expert, buy your ramps in the store.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they're right there. Why?
Yeah, and especially goodness. Like Lily of the Valley, for me, is a domesticated plant. You generally don't find it in the wild.
Yeah. All right.
And so normally we would have put in a thing. I was about to put in a thing saying, like, oh, if you want to identify ramps, but you know what? Don't. Just go with somebody who really knows. And actually, well, I won't go into it, but, you know, there are people who got sick who know people who are experts at the thing that we were writing about.
Right.
And I spoke to one person who was like, they should have just called me. I would have been happy to get them some or take them out and explain it to them. So don't take a chance. People who know how to do it have been doing it for a long time.
All right. And you've got a couple of articles really on COVID-19 about we all work together, and also theology in the COVID-19 crisis.
This is really one of the most beautiful pieces. And we had asked Lila Hawken, who is our stalwart reporter, to speak to her friend, the Reverend Douglas Grandgeorge from Smithfield Church in Amenia, who's just one of these very thoughtful, smart people. And I said, you know, at a time like this, we'd had a lot of people in touch with us about, you know, National Prayer Day and some other things. And I said, well, you know, what does this look like from a theology point of view? And Douglas wrote really just a beautiful moving piece that just makes you feel exactly the way that you want to feel right now, and talks a lot about what modern religious people see in a worldwide crisis like this or in the AIDS crisis, and very comforting and really a nice, you know, whether or not you are have any particular religious faith at all. It just was a very mind-opening, thought-provoking, comforting article, and I recommend it for everybody.
All right.
We have a nice article with Elise Harney Morris and Elise Harney, her mom, in which they talked about something that we've really seen up here, which is Litchfield County has been largely very welcoming to the newcomers and kind of trying to say, you know, this is how we do things up here. Let's all do it together, as opposed to like the Hamptons or even Berkshire County, which have been fairly hostile. So we talked to the Harneys, who I know when they go out with people, they really say, if you move to this community, you're really going to step up. And Elise Morris emailed me on Monday and said, you know, we had talked about some of these rentals and whether they might convert. And she said, properties are selling really, really quickly. People definitely are deciding to stay up here permanently, which is great news for our schools.
All right. A story on the inside page. New York State has canceled their presidential primary, but the preference primary in Connecticut will be held August 11th.
August 11th. It's already been delayed once, and Bernie Sanders wants those delegates. So I asked the registrar. I'm not sure what that means. She said, I think what it means is it gives them more control over having a say in what the platform is for the candidate moving forward. And Janet, do you want to talk about the ad supplement?
Sure. I'll talk about the Small Business Spotlight first, which is fabulous that we still have these small businesses that are promoting what they're doing. Please support them. Then we have our Thanks to Essential Service Providers section, which got great support from so many different businesses. Please read their messages, and all those who are out there on the front lines, take to heart what everybody's saying. We so appreciate what you're doing. And for everybody else, realize that, you know, we keep saying this, but it's true. We have to look at it that we're all in this together and need to support one another, and that's what this is showing. 10% of the revenues for this section is going to Sharon Hospital. This week, next week, we're going to do it for Salisbury Visiting Nurse Association, and the next week will be for the Sunday in the Country Food Drive.
It's never been truer. I had a long talk with Billy Anstadt from Sunday in the Country Food Drive, and I've also interviewed two or three of the different food pantries, and the need is up about 50%.
It's incredible. I just talked to them over at the Corner Pantry yesterday, and the need is up. People are willing to help. They said that people are finally asking for help who probably could have used some before, but were too proud to do that. And this is what they're there for, and they are so happy to help you.
And the Sunday in the Country Food Drive is actually helping people now on top of what they do for Christmas and Thanksgiving. The need is definitely there. Big story that you've got on A5, and we talked about this last week, and anybody that was following the story kind of knew this ruling was going to come down. The court rules in favor of Metcalf asphalt paving in the matter of that long, drawn-out battle.
So if you work in the media business, as we all do, you end up reading a lot of legal decisions, and I have to say, often they're quite funny, and this one was, you know, it's not a funny issue. It's a very serious issue, but the way that the judge wrote it was interesting, and he started off saying, sometimes to not make a decision is to make a decision, and that was sort of the way that he couched this. I think it was a 13-page decision in which, you know, obviously very respectful of the issues that were there, but ultimately said, the Planning and Zoning Commission in North Canaan was wrong to not make any decision on the application by Ben Metcalf. And to have not made that decision essentially means that Ben Metcalf can go ahead with a change to his plan. But the judge also said, you know, really essentially he was granted permission to do this in 2016. He was given permission to make this product no matter what process was used. He's been using cold mix. Now he's going to be using a warmer mix, which Ben says is, you know, a very clean mix environmentally, so Ben will be able to proceed with that.
And you've got a story, and it's funny that we report the figures on a daily basis that we get from all the states and counties. No cases of COVID-19 in Falls Village, and the calls and the texts I get about the numbers People have to realize those numbers in Connecticut come from the state, and they are official numbers, and those are just people that have been tested and positive. So
right.
You can see numbers like in Canaan go from 2 to 4 down to 3 because they're individual cases. You look across the line in Dutchess County, and it's much more significant, by the way, in Dutchess County than it here is in the northern section of Litchfield County. But Falls Village is the only town so far locally with none reported.
Right. And there are most of the smallest towns in the state have zero cases reported. And I just want to refer to that Wall Street Journal article that a lot of people are talking about, where they talked about Sharon Healthcare. And, you know, I have to say, I feel like they're really doing beautiful work. And Janet will talk later about a great letter we got from a staff member there. And it's really a shame that the community is not supporting them more. But one thing that Brent Colley had said in that article was, well, you know, this is going to boost our numbers way up. And they actually don't include the numbers at Sharon Hospital, and they're not including the number of cases at Sharon Healthcare Center. So, and somebody had said to me there were 8 cases in Sharon and 8 cases at Sharon Healthcare. I don't actually know if they were the same.
You're
but
right.
They did not boost the number up to like 100 when Sharon Healthcare took all the patients in recovery.
Absolutely not. It's all based on residents. And, you know, I was interviewed for that, a Wall Street Journal article, and they didn't put in some key facts, and I was there when the picture was taken. Almost everybody, everybody was there, was talking about what they were worried about was the healthcare company that owns the Sharon Healthcare Center protecting the staff and the people in there. There are a few people in Sharon that have protested, but by and large, I'll say 90% of the people were more concerned about Athena Healthcare taking care of the staff and the residents.
And I would say what we've heard from talking to Athena and, of course, talking to Sora Thornton, who is a local girl. I've known her. I'm sure you have, too, since elementary school. They're taking very good care of the workers, and they're doing their best to protect the residents, too. And we have a great letter, I'll say again, from a staff member saying, like, we have all the PPE we want. We have definitely never had a shortage here. So, and they're all getting hazard extra pay. So, you know, I feel like it'd be nice. I feel like everybody who talks to me about this story is outraged that Sharon Healthcare Center is taking these patients who are in recovery. But I don't know.
They've got to go someplace for recovery. After they get tested twice and they're not positive anymore, they still have to go someplace for 10 to 12 days to recuperate. And they've got to go someplace.
You know, when I'm out on the road. And, you know, somebody had said to me, a couple people have said to me, well, you know, they're just going to walk into Sharon Market in their, you know, in their hospital gear and infect everybody. And I'm like, these are healthcare workers. They definitely don't want more people getting sick because they're the ones that have to take care of them. And they're the ones that are actually trained in how to use the PPE. Mm-hmm. So as Sawyer Thornton said, 100%, these people are knowledgeable about how not to spread the disease, probably more than most of us, including the many people I still see going into grocery stores and the transfer station with no mask. They're definitely going home first, showering. They're taking all their PPE off at the center. They're definitely the last people you have to worry about spreading the disease. And think about it. They're the last ones who want to have to be dealing with more patients. This is really hard for them. So, you know, let's give a shout-out to them, too, as we're giving shouts-out to all of our incredible healthcare workers.
Anybody that shows up and works on a daily basis at supermarkets, drive, what you name it, they all get a shout-out from me because they're putting their life on the line to make our life a little more normal. You know, we're running out of time, which is strange, but the coronavirus seems to do this to us. I want to go to the editorial page before we get back, Janet, because the editorial is, it's not getting easier yet.
No, and I think we all know this. We're all seeing repercussions in our own lives and those around us of the strain on people who are working, people who are working remotely, people who are doing their jobs as they always have, and so these are the frontline people. They're all struggling to face the challenges of this time, and we need to have some understanding for one another through this time rather than going on the attack against one another, I'll say here. But we talk about this and the volunteers who are coming out to try to make life more normal have access to things that give us comfort during this time, whether we have people who are ill in our lives or not, it's still just a challenge, and it's hard to see when it's going to come to a conclusion, so we need to boost ourselves up. I'll say quickly that during the pandemic, I think that people know we have cut back the number of outlets where our drivers take single copy sales, and this is for their safety, their frontline workers too, I'll say, and as well as the safety of those around them. And if anyone runs into a situation where they are not able to access the paper, please let us know. We have the information in here. It's publisher@lakefieldjournal.com for the email, or 860-435-9873, extension 201. Let us know, and we will consider increasing either number of papers in that town or at one more dealer in that town, and we will see where that goes. But we do have lots of good letters, and Terry Lefferts wrote a guest commentary. She works at the Sharon Healthcare Center in therapy, and she really does come out in support of her coworkers and the way that they are caring for the patients at the center professionally and how seriously they take this, and that the negativity is not helping them as we're talking about trying to support one another through these hard times.
And people should understand, too, this isn't going to end with the switch of a light switch. So we're just at the very beginning. Even though we're starting to go on the downward curve with hospital admissions, folks, we're going to be dealing with this into the fall and winter. So,
and maybe for a couple of years.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, we have to be prepared for that and understand what we're dealing with.
A very quick 1 minute look at Compass there, Cynthia.
Okay, and Janet and I want to give a quick shout out to our funeral directors too. I'm happy to say we haven't really, as far as we can tell, there hasn't been an obit for a COVID patient yet. We're to knock wood, but we really want to give a shout out to Brian Kenny, who's of course the funeral director in Sharon, where there's the healthcare center and the hospital, and this is a hard time for him. So we just got the notice that Music Mountain is canceling its season. So we're writing about that, and you know their interesting history, which we've covered, you know, through the century in the Lakefield Journal, but also a new book written by a woman from Kent called Musical Chairs. It just happens to be about a family that's being sort of quarantined in their house together, and they're a chamber group. So that's timely and interesting. We're doing quarantine reflections, sort of what people are thinking about doing while they're home. Patrick is writing Geoffrey Chaucer-style poetry, and we have some other ones coming up about somebody learning to play guitar. My daughter's developed a new form of poetry. We're going to write about that. There's a new David Mamet play that, because of a personal connection he has with the Great Barrington Public Theater, you can see it online with some other short plays. Information on how to see that is there. And for those of us who love jigsaw puzzles and haven't been able to get them, more in stock at Oblong Books. And that's our paper.
All right, guys, be safe, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That is This Week in the Lakefield Journal here on Robinhood Radio, heard on Thursday mornings. And, of course, online at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand This Week in the Lakefield Journal.